As we are starting to wrap things up, you can tell I'm a little hoarse. This time of the year gets me every single year. Those of you that are visiting, my voice is normally much deeper than this. So you can tell those that aren't visiting. All right. I do want to wish all of you a very happy and blessed holiday. We've got Thanksgiving coming up and a lot going on, Christmas here soon. And so thankful for the great gift yesterday of, what, almost $54,000. I when they were coming to my house, I couldn't even count how many people were at my house at any rate. There was a lot of them. And my next-door neighbor pulls in. He goes, "What is going on?" I told him. And he just couldn't. I said, "We're probably going to raise $45,000, maybe $50,000. I can't wait to tell him today what we did. 50 of it was mine, so at any rate. I appreciate the rest of you chipping in. It's been good. Okay, we're in Colossians. If you're visiting today, brief is we are going to actually wrap it up. We're going to go all the way through the very end, but we're going to come back next week and we're going to kind of put a bow on top. We're going to look at the whole big picture. Something I think everybody, I really want you to walk away with, get the big picture of this. But today, we're going to look at a section here where Paul is thankful for a group of people that have blessed him, and he's blessed them, and they're sending their greetings back to Colossae. So here he is in a Roman prison, writing to people 800 miles away in Colossae, in old Mesopotamia. Now, last week we talked about having a platform in which the gospel could go forth, which is message, an open door for this message. And actually, I heard a number of people this past week said they really were blessed by what the scriptures said in that area and have actually taken advantage of looking at some platforms. So today, we're going to be diving into something that's going to hopefully really touch some hearts, because this section is the type of, it's that place in Scripture where you're reading and you go, well, he's just listing a bunch of names here. I'll just skip that and go on to the next thing. Or he says something fairly small about somebody. But I'm going to tell you the story behind each person that he is thankful for. The fact that you can go to other places of Scripture and see why he's thanking them, what they were actually involved in, how all this worked out. So we're going to talk here about some pretty deep things regarding the need for rich friendships. And I'll give you kind of a distilled thought or a tagline here. But let's take a look, starting in verse 7, and we'll just read down through verse 9. And then we'll cover the rest of the chapter a little bit later. Verse 7, "Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here." Father, we pray today as we would look at this text that we would not dismiss the fact that there's a reason why Paul has given us a list of these names of very special people. And Lord, I pray now that you would truly open our eyes. We'd behold wondrous things out of your word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start by asking you two fairly simple questions. And they're not designed to make anybody feel guilty. But I hope that it will cause you to look and think deeply about the answer that you might give to this. And then at the end, maybe we'll be able to give you some help if there's any help that is needed. The question is this: if you were writing a letter, doesn't necessarily have to be at the end of your life, but if you were writing a letter and you wanted to send greetings, or you wanted to tell somebody or a group of people how thankful you are for a group of people that have blessed or really touched your life, sort of covered your back, so to speak, have been in the trenches in life with you, how many people could you say that about? Now let's flip it, the other side of the coin. How many people, if they were writing a letter, you would be included as one of those people who was in the trenches? The really deep, hard times of life. In other words, you've got some really deep, rich friendships. Now, I know that some people are going to say that, well, that's just not my personality. I'm a quiet person. I get energy being alone. I'm an introvert and so on. I would actually say I think that the introverts that I've known in my life, many of them have deeper relationships than many extroverts do. And there's actually a reason for that, but I won't go into that right now. But I have lots of friends, I think, that are quite introvertish, that have very, very deep relationships. And I know some people that are very expressive and very outgoing that don't have as deep a relationship. So we have a distilled thought today. Our tagline is friendship or friendships expand the capacity of your soul to experience life. Let me say that again. Friendships expand the capacity of your soul to experience life. And when I say expand the capacity of your soul, the word soul or heart is often just dealing with the totality of a person, who they are. All right? And the reason that I say that is I've gone back and I've looked at all these different places where these people are mentioned that Paul is thanking. And you can't help but to note that Paul's soul has been expanded. He understands, he has a greater capacity to understand life. And he has done the same with these people. Their souls have been expanded. We're going to see some very unique people here in this very short little list that looks like just sort of a laundry list that he's just kind of getting through the end of the book. But that's not the case. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit has preserved these names in this particular text, because it is to our advantage to understand why he has done this and why these people mean so much to him. And to ask ourselves the question, is my life fairly shallow and fairly narrow because I don't have those relationships? Or have the banks been widened through the years and I've got people that really have been there for me through thick and thin and I've been there with them? And it doesn't even have to be just the hard times. It's the good times of life, all kinds of things regarding life. Friendships expand the capacity of your soul to experience life. Something else you'll notice here. As Paul is going through this, he is talking about believers that have expanded his capacity in the spiritual arena. That does not mean that today, if you happen to be a person who says, I'm not a believer, I'm not a follower of Christ, we're not saying that your soul cannot be expanded by having deep relationships. It can. You can learn a lot from other people. What we are saying is when you're in the kingdom, when you're a believer, when you're a follower of Christ, your soul can be expanded in a greater way because there's a spiritual dimension to it. Paul is talking here about eternal matters in a lot of respects. He'll often talk about so-and-so serving the Lord. So he's talking about ministry issues here, but it's still just going through life together. And we'll talk about each one of these people as we go through this. Keep this in mind. If we use the excuse that I've been burned in life, or you know, I don't want to get too close to anybody because it's you know, friendships are messy and they're hard and so on. Keep this in mind. If you were to go through the New Testament, you will see a number of places that are what we often refer to as the one another's in the Bible. Pray one for another. Encourage one another. Bear one another's burdens. All those types of one another's that are found in Scripture, you can't have that unless there actually is somebody in your life, some one another's in your life. It's impossible, all right? So here we find that the Apostle Paul is giving this list of people that he has been sort of a one another to and they to him. So now we're going to dive in. We're going to start taking a look at each one of these. So it is a command that we are to encourage, to love, to pray, and carry on, to bear one another's burdens in life. These are commands, and you can't carry out those commands unless you have those types of relationships that expand the capacity of your soul to experience life. Okay, here's the first one. In verse 7, Tychicus, I just love to say Tychicus. Isn't that a great name? Tychicus Mentor sort of has a ring to it, doesn't it? Wouldn't that be great? Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. That great. He's a dear brother. He's a fellow servant. I'm sending him. I want him to encourage your heart. This whole idea of encouraging your heart, here it is, this idea to encourage one another. He knows that this man has expanded his own soul, and he knows he's expanded this man's soul. But if you go back, you'll find that Tychicus is mentioned about 5 times in the New Testament. He just doesn't say everything about him in one place. But one of the places that he is mentioned is there's a place over in the book of Acts where Paul and others, Tychicus and others, are in a situation where they've gone into this arena, into this marketplace where people are taking silver and making a goddess out of these silvers. They're bowing down to these various gods. And Paul, of course, comes in with the gospel, and he comes in with this one true God. And these people realize they're gonna shut down their business if this gospel gets out too much. So they go to the authorities, and they say, these men are causing all kinds of problems. And the next thing you read is Tychicus is being carried away. Paul gets a lot of credit, and he should, but Paul gets a lot of focus because he's the one that wrote these many epistles here that we see in the New Testament. But keep in mind, many of these people were great heroes, just only casually mentioned by Paul here, but he's so thankful. These were the people that were covering his back during this incredible riot that took place at Ephesus. So we see this, and we see Tychicus also apparently must have been with Paul, or apparently was with Paul in that great journey where Paul was heading back to Rome, and he's on board the ship in Acts chapter 27, the mess that took place there. So here's a guy that's come along. He's also probably the one that is carrying the letter. Looks like he and Onesimus are carrying this letter that Paul has written back to Colossae. When I think of some of these people, I look at a guy like this and I say, this is a guy who is a hero, a spiritual hero, if you want to look at it that way. And I think about people that don't get the press, so to speak. There are famous missionaries, but there are missionaries that aren't famous. There are people all around the world that are covering other people's backs, that are in the midst of lots of pain, that have developed deep relationships, that have expanded the souls of other people. When I go to the Amazon, or when I go to other places in South America, when I go overseas, or I've been to prisons in Russia and all this, I meet people that are never going to have their names obviously written in Scripture, and I meet people that never going to get any press here at all. They're just not going to. And yet, I look at these people, and even though I may spend a fairly short time with them, dialoguing, listening to their stories, learning from them, and vice versa, I feel when I leave their presence that my soul has been expanded. The capacity of my soul has been expanded to really understand what life is about, because these people are sharing things with me that I could otherwise have no knowledge of had it not been for that kind of dialogue and even deep friendships. And though I go back to the Amazon fairly regularly, so I've gotten to know some of the people there in a much deeper way, and I look at these people and I say, boy, these are the heroes. These are the people that could easily be listed right here, along with Tychicus and others that are mentioned. Now look at what it goes on to say. He now talks about Onesimus in verse 9. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you, belongs to Colossae. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Now, here's what you need to know about Onesimus. He's mentioned here, but he's mentioned mainly in one little sliver of a book. There are several books in the Bible that only have one chapter. And Philemon is one of those books. And here's the situation. Philemon has a church in his home, and he knows Paul. Paul has led Philemon to the Lord through the gospel. Philemon also has a slave by the name of Onesimus. Now, again, I told you a while back, slavery in this time was not to be equated with what we think of in the 1800s in the Deep South and so on here. A little different. More like an employee-employer relationship. But there were some very tough situations, and there were some legal rules that if your slave did certain things, that you could have them executed. Onesimus apparently steals from his master and leaves, flees town and goes 800 miles away to Rome to hide in the metropolis, to get away. While he's there, under the providence of God, he meets the apostle Paul, who's in jail. So apparently Onesimus must wind up in jail somehow. And Paul writes to Philemon and says, Onesimus has been with me, and he's now my son in the Lord. I've led him to the saving knowledge of Christ, and I'm sending him back to you, and I want you to forgive him. Now, I want you to hold your place here, and I want you to turn to your right. You're going to go through five T's. All right, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus, and then Philemon. You'll find Philemon there. Here's what it says. There's a little passage I want you to note dealing with the expansion of the soul. He says in verse 4, Philemon, verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. You've refreshed the hearts. When you refresh a person's heart, you expand their capacity to understand life. And now look at verse 12. I love this. I am sending him, Onesimus, who is my very heart, back to you. He's what? He's my very heart. He's my soul. We are linked. We've expanded each other's souls and the capacity to understand each other in life. This guy is no longer a slave. He's a brother. And he's coming back to seek forgiveness. And I'm asking you, as difficult as it's been, I want you to forgive him. All right? And in forgiveness, the receiving and the giving of it expands the capacity of the soul to really understand what life is all about. Many dimensions of it. It's a powerful statement. You know, you look at Scripture and you think of places in Proverbs where it says, those that have friends show themselves to be friendly. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. Friendship is always going to be messy. And a lot of people don't want to make that mess. They don't want to go there. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Maybe you've been burned or whatever. But we're commanded to it. Because this is what gives our soul a greater capacity to understand what is really going on in life. So here's Philemon, and Paul refers to him as his very heart. Boy, they must have been really attached to the hip. They're covering each other's back and during difficult times. All right. Then we read this. Look at this. This is Aristarchus. Look at verse 10. We read these words back in Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Here we go. Verse 10. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Now, when you read about Aristarchus and it says, sends his greetings, what you have to understand and have to know is that in Acts chapter 27, we have the record of Paul on his way to Rome to stand trial. And Paul gets on board a ship. And he's not really too excited because he doesn't think they're leaving at the right time and it's a difficult time and so on. Aristarchus is with him. And this ship is going to go through some very horrific times. As a matter of fact, the storm gets so great that it appears as though everybody is going to die and people are getting ready to jump overboard. And Paul stands before everyone and he says, an angel has appeared to me and says that not a hair of your head will be lost. Nobody will be lost. The ship's going to get damaged, but just stay on board. Everybody's going to be fine. So I think of this incredible storm that this man went through with Paul. I think of how this guy was also in the riots at Ephesus with Paul. And when I think about that, I go back even prior to my coming to know the Lord when I was about 18 years old. I'm coming home from school, 17 or 18. I'm coming home from high school, Ritchie Highway up in Annapolis, and it's sleeting and snowing and I got this big old Oldsmobile this friend of mine had, and I'm sitting over in the passenger side, and all of a sudden we hit an ice patch. We're doing 45, 50 miles an hour. And the car starts going off the road, and it's headed for a tree that is inside of a tree well. In other words, this big, deep pit with bricks all around it is housing this tree. And I'm thinking, this is it. This is the end of my life. Everything just kind of flashed right before me. We went over into the tree well, hit the tree, broke the tree. The tree falls back on top of the car, crushes the top of the car. My friend in the back gets cushioned by the back seat. My friend driving gets cushioned by the steering wheel. They both get out. I hit my head on the windshield. I'm kind of knocked out, dazed. I don't know what's going on. The car is like this, and the engine is still running, and the gas tank is leaking. It's dripping down towards the engine. They both get out, and they look around. They go, where's Mike? And they see that I'm still in the car. And people started gathering, saying, don't go down there. That thing is going to explode. It's going to blow up. My good friend Steve Fitzgerald said, I'm going down. And he did. He shimmied down the tree and got me kind of awake. And I climbed out and got out and everything was fine. They got down there, the ambulance, everything turned off. But I look at a guy like that and I think, wow, 17, 18 years old, covering my back in the trenches of life in really difficult situations. And in those situations, you develop great friendships. Some of us are still very dear friends all the way through the years. And we sometimes go back and rehearse some of those things. We think of our years in high school or college, even though I might not have been a believer, it still was expanding my horizons, my understanding of the things of life. Might not have been touched on the spiritual side, but later it does. It plays itself out. And so I see something like Aristarchus. This is not just a name, not just somebody that's thrown out there. This is a real person that really covered Paul's back in the trenches of life. But then we also read, he says in verse 10, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Now this, there's a little story behind this one. Here's Mark, John Mark. Back in Acts chapter 13, we find that John Mark, along with Paul and Barnabas, are on this missionary journey, and John Mark bails out. He decides not to go any further. When the second missionary journey starts, Barnabas and Paul, it says they had no small argument between the two of them. It was massive as to whether or not they ought to take Mark with them. Barnabas said, let's take him. And the reason he did is because Barnabas, his name means son of encouragement. That's found in Scripture, all right? He was an encourager. Paul was a let's take the hill kind of guy. So you've got just basic personality issues going on here to some degree. And Paul says, we're not taking him. The guy bailed out. We're not taking him. Barnabas says, I want to take him. No small issue. Big battle goes on, and they go their separate ways. And now we read where, he says, Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Now Paul, nearing the end, mentions Barnabas and Mark. What's happened? There's been restoration. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, probably the last letter that Paul ever wrote, as far as chronology is concerned, age of life, when he's saying goodbye to everyone, Paul says, send John Mark, for he's profitable to me in the ministry. There was reconciliation. There was reconciliation. So this was a messy friendship. It was a messy friendship. But in that reconciliation, in the forgiveness, in all that had to be talked through and worked out, their souls were expanded. The capacity of their souls were expanded to understand the deep things of life. It's where life makes up its mind. It's where life happens in the pain of life, the difficulty. Yes, these things are messy, and yes, they are worth it. Broken and restored, both of them. Barnabas being the man of encouragement, Paul being, let's take the next hill. Then he makes a very swift reference to a man by the name of Jesus, who is called Justice in verse 11, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. Notice he's talking about advancing the kingdom of God, and these are the people he needs to do it. And they have proved a comfort to me. When he talks about these people, Justice, being a comfort to him, anytime you are comforted, your soul expands. Anytime you're forgiven or forgive, your soul expands, even in the messy issues of life. But you can see Paul writing this letter and having these people say, we send our greetings. These are people he is so thankful for that have been with him all through these difficult times. And then we get to verse 12. I love this fellow. Look at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, meaning he belongs like Onesimus does to Colossae, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Wow. He isn't necessarily praying that anybody gets out of prison or anything. He is praying that there might be a maturity, and he's wrestling in prayer. Do you think of prayer as wrestling? We don't normally think of that, but there's the same term that is used in Romans. I believe it's chapter 15 where it talks about striving in prayer, wrestling in prayer. Prayer is warfare. Prayer is really hard. That's why I've told you so many times I find it to be the singularly most difficult discipline in the Christian life. Reading, you know, meditating, all those kind of things, fellowship. But boy, when it comes to this, this is warfare. And Paul is so thankful that somebody is out there wrestling night and day for the souls of people, for the souls of those that need their souls expanded in order to advance the kingdom, and for those that are outside the kingdom that they might come in. He's wrestling. He wants them to be fully assured and mature in their faith. This is an incredible statement about a human being. These are what we call prayer warriors. And I think there are some people that clearly are called to this and just just do this in an amazing way, an amazing way. But all of these people, each one of them, no matter what the statement is made about them, they're all involved in wanting to advance the kingdom by expanding the capacity of people's souls within the kingdom to touch people that are outside the kingdom. That's the ultimate message here. This isn't just a list of people. Hey, thanks, appreciate these guys. He's making a statement about each one of them that really touches the hearts of all of us. And now we look at this. Look it down at verse 14. He says, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Luke has been with him all the way through. We've got two men who have written the Gospels mentioned here. John Mark goes on and writes the Gospel of Mark. Luke writes the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. Luke has written a huge amount, all right? He's a doctor, and he travels. And the reason we know he's with Paul is because many times as he's the one that's bringing about the chronology of all that's taking place in the Book of Acts, he will say, we went to this. We did that. So he's including himself. And one of those things was he was on board in Acts 27, when they had the huge storm. He was with Paul, taking his medicine experience with him as a doctor, touching lives of people, probably could have had a nice practice back someplace else, but he's reaching out, just like we have doctors here that go off into the distant places to minister to people that don't have that, and expanding the capacity of people's souls to even understand the things of the gospel. And here's Luke giving of his time and talents and his treasures to travel with Paul. And he knows these are going to be some really difficult times. He's aware of it. He's aware of it. And Paul's, man, thankful. Luke has been right there with me all the way through. And then there's a sad note, a very, very sad note. Verse 14, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. He doesn't say anything much about Demas. There have been statements about Demas that have been positive. There have been statements about Demas that have been kind of neutral. But the last thing we hear about Demas is in Paul's last letter, chronologically anyway, 2 Timothy, where he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, this present world system, this present age. And here's what got me. I've read that verse. I couldn't tell you how many times. I've mentioned it before. And never thought much about the actual wording of it until I was doing a study here. And I went back and I started looking up Demas and how his name was used. And all of a sudden it struck me. Paul does not say, Demas has forsaken God having loved this present world. He says he's forsaken me having loved this present world. I thought, that's strange. Why wouldn't you say it's God that he has forsaken? Why would you refer to you? It's understood that all sin is against God. We know that. But Paul is feeling the pain of losing somebody that's necessary for the advancement of the kingdom. He feels it. And he's basically saying this guy loves the world more than he loves people, more than he loves souls, more than he loves deep friendships. He's going after the world, which only makes life far more shallow. The things of the world, all the material possessions, the love of life, it just makes life very, very shallow. As a matter of fact, all that the stuff of life does is it shrinks the soul. It shrinks the capacity of the soul to understand the things of life. Friendships expand the capacity of the soul. And Paul is wounded by this, and he expresses this, having loved this present world. And here is what we all have to be careful about. This present world, this world system, and all that it has to offer, as God has said, he has given us all things freely to enjoy. But when you start enjoying it just so much, friendships get left aside. This past year, we've seen a number of celebrity pastors who have not fallen necessarily morally in the sense of having an affair or something, but they've fallen into love of material stuff, and it gets into the news, and their books are selling in the gazillions, they're making tons of money, and they're building enormous homes and all that. And it becomes sort of a celebrity thing. And people are looking at it, and there's investigations being done and all kinds of problems. And it just grieves my heart because you wind up turning the ministry into a business where you start leveraging the church for your own personal gain and funds. And the world hears about this. That doesn't expand the capacity of anybody's soul to know anything. And this is why Paul, I believe, is so hurt wounded, if you would, to say, you know, at the very end, I've thanked so many people that have been there with me, that have walked through thick and thin, and now here's somebody who bails out at the very end. And then he says this. He finishes up here. He says, he talks about Luke, the doctor, and Demas, greetings. He says, verse 15, give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. We don't have that letter, right? Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Wow, what an end. He mentions Nympha, who is a lady, the church in her home. This is hospitality. Hospitality expands the capacity of the soul because you're around people and you minister and you talk and you dialogue. That's why we have shepherd groups. That's why we encourage people to get into shepherd groups and be in small groups, because there's community and that's where life takes place. That's where it happens. As I look at this, and as I kind of wrap up some thoughts on this, I'm reminded of a very, very dear, dear friend, a guy that I've known, he and his wife, for about 50 years. Knew them before they got married, known them all through their marriage. And I won't give you some fictitious names, not that anybody here would know them, but I just, for their privacy, not that I even think they would necessarily care. But I was with this couple recently, about 10 years ago. We'll call him Tom. Tom's wife started developing some symptoms of dementia and eventually led into Alzheimer's, and now she's in a special home. And so we went up there. Kay and I were up there a little while back, and they live about 50, 60 miles from here. And we're sitting down, and we were getting ready to go to dinner, and Tom says, listen, before we go to dinner, let's go by and visit Kathy, not her real name, at this place that she's living, this Alzheimer's unit. And I wasn't sure what to expect. I had kind of watched this a little bit through the years. I'd kind of see the demise and been with him a little bit. And you know, I knew she wasn't going to know me per se. And she knows him because every single day, even though he works in D.C., he drives home. He goes right to where she lives. He has dinner with her. He reads her a story. He brushes her teeth and flosses her teeth and puts her to bed and starts the whole routine. I've watched this day after day. It's going to go on who knows how long. So we get there, Kay and I get there, and she spots me. I'm coming down the hallway, and I've known her for years and years. I didn't know quite what she would do, but she comes up and she puts her hands on my shoulder, and she goes, "Now, where do you know Tom from?" And she starts talking to me, and then she says, "I need a hug." So I gave her a big hug, and she gave me a peck on the right cheek and a peck on the left cheek, and I'm looking at her. Her personality is still there, totally there, all of her personality. But she has no connection with what's going on, all right? So we all sat down around a table, and I watched Bob just kind of hold her hand and talk to her, and we just had a delightful time. She would laugh and everything. But here's what was so beautiful about the moment. It broke my heart, but it expanded my soul. It expanded the capacity of my soul to understand a little bit about hurt. It gave me a greater love for my own wife and marriage and thinking about how life is short. It was a teaching moment. It was a moment of real instruction in my life, just watching him take care of her. Broke my heart, but expanded the capacity of my soul to really understand more about life. And you're going to have people like that. And I said to him, before we left, I said, listen, you know I'm only 50, 60 miles away. If you need me for anything, you need us for anything, we're here for you. Because he's been there for me in some pretty hard times in my own life. And this has developed a very deep relationship. And he's an extreme introvert. And he has many, many friends, many deep relationships. Just a wonderful relationship. It was C.S. Lewis, the great writer and thinker, who wrote a book called The Four Loves. I think that's the name of the book. Lewis died back in 1963 on the same day that President Kennedy died, so he didn't get a whole lot of press, you know, when he passed away, but the legacy of Lewis and his mind is amazing. There were four men called the Inklings, and they used to meet together at a tavern, a pub over in England. One of them was J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote some great things too, and they were all dear friends. There was a couple other guys. They were sitting around one day, and they were discussing the fact that they had lost one of their friends, one of the four, a guy named Charles, who had died. And one of the men said to the other two that were left, he said, "We're going to really miss Charlie. But you have to realize we're going to have a deeper relationship because there's fewer of us here." And Lewis jumped in and said, "No. What Charlie was able to bring out from each of us in our own soul, the rest of us can't do that. We've lost something here." I thought, that's Lewis. That's Lewis's thinking. What he was saying is, the capacity now to expand our souls, the things that Charlie could do, he's not here. It isn't that we're necessarily going to have more time. Now, I realize there's a law of diminishing returns. You can't have 50 people necessarily in your life. But he was saying that this foursome was really tight, and you needed each person to draw out something from the other people that the other ones couldn't. What an insight. What a tremendous insight. This is why you need those kind of relationships in life. Life is in the trenches. Life isn't Disney World. Life is in the trenches, and it's in the trenches a lot of the time. So the question is this, because I don't want to leave you going, okay, great, appreciate all that. I don't know how to do this. I don't have a lot of friends. I'll admit my life's been kind of shallow, a little narrow. Don't know even how to go there. Let me throw this out as what I believe is a starter for you, and it has nothing to do with personality. Nothing to do with extrovert, introvert. Nothing. Zero. All right? When you find people in pain, I don't care what kind of pain it is, physical, emotional, whatever it happens to be, in the office, in your dorm, on your neighborhood or whatever, don't just let that go by. Hey, sorry to hear about such and such, and walk past them. That is your opportunity. That is your platform, whether they are in the kingdom or out of the kingdom, to reach out to that person. It has nothing to do with personality. It's whether or not you care for that person enough to say, listen, what can I do to help you get through this difficult time? Is there anything I can do? And you keep kind of plugging away. You keep ministering. You keep working it. People appreciate somebody that cares about them. Then you start getting into their life, all right? Then you start sharing your life with that person. Then your souls and the capacity for your souls expands to understand the things of life. You'll understand something about pain you've never known before. You'll appreciate things about people that you've never understood before. So I would say that's a starter. Learning to be an encourager. Just walk in the ship. Being around people, encouraging them. Saying, hey, I just want to thank you so much for that report that you brought in last week. And I know there was a deadline. I know it was hard. I just want to thank you. You are really a great member of this organization. You're a real tribute to this place. Whatever. All those dropping words that really mean something, that you really care. Working people through pain or thanking people for all that they've done for you in life. All of this ultimately is connected to eternity. All of it. Because it's wanting to bring people into the kingdom. And the greater your fellowship with the Lord, the greater your fellowship will be with other believers. And the greater your ability will be to bring people into the kingdom. They will see it. It's very real, all right? And it's necessary. It's what expands our capacity to reach people and expands our whole lives. We have to do it. Jesus, near the very end of his life in the Gospel of John, he says, I don't call you servants. I call you my friends. And I will tell you what the Father is telling me. I'm letting you into my life. Even Jesus in his humanity learned obedience. There were things he learned. His soul was being expanded in his humanity as he went through life. Fully God, fully man. And yet in his humanity, there were things he was learning. And he wanted those friendships. And he said, instead of Jesus, he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He had deep relationships, and he's calling us to have the very same thing. The beauty of that statement, that he didn't come to be served, but to serve, shows his care for people and for the world. And when we started today, I said, you know, if you're on the outside kind of looking into the kingdom, you wouldn't consider yourself a believer. I'm just here to tell you, yes, you can have great relationships. You can expand the capacity of your soul in amazing ways, but never to the eternal degree that you can if you're inside the kingdom. And being inside the kingdom doesn't mean that people inside are better than people on the outside. They're just better off because they've been forgiven. And if you've never put your faith in Christ, I would encourage you today to realize that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and it's Jesus. And if you'll put your faith, your hope, your confidence in Christ alone for your salvation, he will give you everlasting life. He'll save you from hell. He will give you heaven. He will take you into the kingdom, and your soul and the capacity of your soul will expand dramatically. I remember when I first came to know the Lord, it was like blinders fell off my eyes. I saw life completely differently because Jesus also promises, as do the gospels and the epistles and everything, that our basic mindset expands because we now have a capacity in a spiritual sense to understand things we could never have known before. So those of you that are inside, your assignment is continue to go after people. We're commanded to encourage one another, to love one another, to bear one another's burdens, to pray for one another. It's proactive, no matter what your personality is. If you're on the outside, I invite you to come into the inside by trusting Jesus Christ as your only hope, and thus having your capacity of your soul expanded beyond measure of anything you could possibly think. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to exercise our souls through the Word. Thank you for this wonderful list of great people. Lord, I would pray today that if there's anybody here who has never, ever put their faith in Christ, that today would be the day they would believe in him as the one that died for them and rose again and paid the penalty for their sin. And thank you, Lord, that you will give them eternal life as a gift, a gift. Lord, I would pray that we would see today, perhaps we might not have too many people we could write to and be thankful for because we just don't have those relationships. Maybe we wouldn't be included in that list of people that would be thankful for others. But Lord, it's never too late to start doing what is right. And so I would pray, Lord, that today we would see the need to be very proactive in developing deep relationships. And it's always our desire to see that you'd be the one to receive all the glory. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.